Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. Your retirement dreams can become reality if you have a plan. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. We provide custom solutions to help you navigate through your finances today while helping you build a strong financial portfolio for tomorrow. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
There's so much breaking news today all around us. President Trump held a mammoth press conference today, and I'll give you some more audio of that. Our region is still asking, what are these drones? Would you please give us some answers about these drones? And Daniel Penny was a guest of Vice President-elect J.D. Vance at the Army-Navy game this weekend. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 is the number. And I'm very happy to welcome to the show Pastor Corey Brooks, CEO of Project Hood, H-O-O-D. And his latest piece at FoxNews.com Opinion, which is an excellent, excellent read, and we'll post a link to it. Jordan Neely's father played a role in his death. Don't ignore America's fatherhood crisis. Pastor, thanks for making time today. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I greatly appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to be sharing with Philadelphia.
It's great to have you. And so you're based in Chicago, is that correct?
I'm based in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, absolutely.
Tell me what that's like, the south side of Chicago, because for most of us, the only reference point we have is when Chevy Chase gets lost in vacation.
Well, it's bittersweet. You know, south side is culturally, it's made up of mostly African Americans. It's a tough community. The block that we live on is called O Block. It's where a young man was shot and killed. The gangs picked up the O in his name and started calling it O Block. It's on 66th and King Drive, 65th and 64th and King Drive. And unfortunately, in our area, we're having a tough time. Schools, we have a 4% reading proficiency, 6% reading math proficiency, high level of violence. And that's one of the reasons why we're building a 90,000 square foot leadership and economic opportunity center so we can transform this neighborhood. But it can be a very tough neighborhood at times.
I imagine it can. And the people there are very lucky to have somebody like you who's there for the community. And I imagine, too, my guess of it is that there's not a real big desire to defund the police in that community. I'm sure people really want more police, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, the people who talk about defunding the police, they're not worth listening to. People know that they're not speaking for them in our community, because we're definitely not interested in defunding the police. We want the law. We want order in our community. We want people to be safe. Matter of fact, that's one of the biggest issues that we're faced with in the city of Chicago, especially now that we're a sanctuary city and we have a lot of illegal immigrants here. Safety is a major concern for a lot of people.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the videos of residents speaking out at the town alderman meetings and council meetings, whatever you guys call them in Chicago. Voicing a lot of very passionate anger about the illegal immigration situation.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of people who are upset that we've allowed so many illegal immigrants to come into the city and providing them housing, providing them financial resources that could have otherwise went toward bettering our schools, bettering our communities, making our communities safer. Now, the present mayor that we have is who has a 14% approval rating, if you can believe that, is being challenged because a lot of the funds that he is in need of now, people feel that he spent those funds on illegal immigrants. And so he's in a budget crisis. He's in a major fight, and people are letting him know how disgruntled they are and their disapproval of what he's trying to do.
So, Pastor, how important is fatherhood in this day and age? And the piece that really caught my attention, that your excellent piece at FoxNews.com, you know, you talk about Jordan Neely, who is the man who died in the subway encounter. Daniel Penny, of course, found not guilty by a jury of his peers. And in my opinion, really, really stepped up that day to protect people. But you point out that Jordan Neely had a rough life. And let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, here's a young kid at that time who had to witness his mother being killed, and not just had to witness his mother being killed, but having to testify about it, and then being put into homes with people, foster homes, where, you know, he was not always treated that well, and he was away from family, and his father was not present. And so he kind of grew up with a rough life that led him to a life of crime and a vicious cycle of mental institutions and mental issues. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write about it. I know that a lot of people didn't know his background, but I also wanted to write about the fact that his father was never there. And I think that could have made a major difference in his life if he had a father that would have been present. Every single day on the south side of Chicago, I see young people who are without fathers, and I see the impact that it has on our community. And this is one of the things that needs to be discussed, because it's happening all across America.
And Pastor, it's so important. And you're not in any way excusing, of course, his behavior. What you're saying is we have to get to the root causes of these behaviors. And fatherhood,
absolutely,
or the lack thereof, it plays such a critical role in this. And that's why you entitled your piece, "Jordan Neely's Father Played a Role in His Death. Don't Ignore America's Fatherhood Crisis." I couldn't agree with you more. Look, I have three kids, and I have a son who's 10 years old. And I feel my job is to raise that young man into a very strong man, who will be a loving and kind person, strong, and live a good life of good moral character. And I work very hard at doing my job. And I'm not perfect, believe me. And with my daughters, I work very, very hard to make sure that they understand the kind of man that hopefully they'll find one day in their life. And again, I'm not perfect, but we're committed to doing the best job we possibly can, raising our kids to become good, strong, wholesome adults.
Absolutely. And that's what it's going to take. If we're going to change our neighborhoods around, and if we're going to keep our country on track, we're going to need the presence of fathers in the lives of young people. The neighborhood where we are on the south side of Chicago, we experience over 75% of the households are single parent households. For those young boys who find themselves without these fathers, and we're definitely not making an excuse, but the truth of the matter is they're more likely to commit a crime, more likely to drop out of school, more likely to have other children out of wedlock, more likely to end up in poverty or jail or dead prematurely. And so we have to make sure that we get fathers in the lives of their children to take responsibility. And that's exactly what I was trying to write in that article, that if his father had been in his life, it's highly likely that maybe he would not have gone down the vicious cycle that he went down if he had a loving father and a loving present parent in his life.
I love this one piece from your article. You talk about how after Neely's death, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez showed up at the funeral. Activist and MSNBC host Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy, where he predictably blamed systemic racism for Neely's death. And at the time, Pastor, you said, "Where were all of you when he was alive?"
Absolutely. And that's normally how it is for a lot of these woke individuals who tell us these things that they believe, but they never roll up their sleeves and get involved in the action and get involved in the lives of people. They're quick to talk about systemic racism, and they're quick to blame everything on race. But these same individuals are the very ones who are not putting things in place to make sure that young people have opportunities to live their lives and to accomplish the American dream. That's one of the reasons why we do the work that we do here on the south side of Chicago without focusing on race, without focusing on systemic racism. We believe that every person, regardless of their color, has the opportunity to live the American dream. And so we're definitely opposite of the Al Sharptons of the world.
Yeah, no doubt. And thank God. Thank God for that. You actually are a man of action. And to point out, as you point out, that Jordan's father, Andre Zachary, has filed a lawsuit against Daniel Penny, demanding that, you know, he's trying to get money now, trying to get money out of the pen. And you said you were incensed. Where the heck was Zachary all these years? What did he do for his son who had to witness an abusive relationship? Where was he? And now he sues Daniel Penny, trying to get money out of him, to try to use this incident now to try to get money. I mean, it's disgraceful.
It's very disgraceful. The fact that he would not be present, the fact that he never attended his son's grade school graduations, never participated in his son's sporting activities, never even showed up once his son went through a traumatic experience of losing his mother. And now all of a sudden, here's this person who was absent for all of those years, who shows up and says, hey, I want to benefit from my son's death. Yeah. That, to me, is one of the most disgusting and distasteful things that we can witness as Americans. And that's the reason why we have to speak out about it. And we have to say something against people like him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's shameful and it's predatory and it's infuriating. And I hope the case gets dismissed, because Daniel Penny does not deserve this. And it's also a disgrace to his son's memory, considering what a terrible father he really, really was. I thank you for writing this piece. I thank you for speaking up. And I thank you for serving your community, because you're putting your action, you know, where it counts. And you're a pastor, and you know firsthand about God and about forgiveness and about trying to live the right life. But you also are a realist in understanding that, listen, you know, people got to stop making excuses in life, and they got to take action. Yes. If they want to fix things, they want to make things better. You got to take some action here.
Absolutely. Accountability is the order of the day. We can't continue to make excuses and blame people for our own shortcomings. We have to take accountability for our own lives, roll up our sleeves and do the work. And when we do that, opportunities are available to us, not just to us on the South Side, but to every single person in America. There are opportunities in front of them. If they just be accountable and roll up their sleeves and work hard, they can live the American dream. I believe that with all my heart.
Pastor Corey Brooks, CEO of Project Hood. Go to projecthood.org and learn about all their incredible work. Pastor, thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. We're going to post a link to your excellent article on foxnews.com.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I should also mention Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Capitol Hill was asked a short time ago about the polio vaccine. I mentioned this earlier, but just in case you missed it, he said he supports the polio vaccine. All right, so everybody can freaking relax, but anyway. All right, so let me share this with you as we continue along the show here today. And this is our happy hour, brought to you by my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be live on Friday for our next live show. And it is our last show of the year, and it's our Christmas spectacular. So I hope you'll join us 3 to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Christmas in Cape May is beautiful. They go all out. It's so gorgeous, all the decorations, and you will love it. So if you've never been to a live show, you better join us. If you've been to a live show before, you better come back. Either way, I want to see you there on Friday. And make your New Year's Eve plans for New Year's Eve at the Grand Hotel. It's an amazing Grand New Year's Eve spectacular, which includes a surf and turf dinner. It includes hors d'oeuvres, unlimited open premium bar. Well, not unlimited. They can't get you, you know, they can't kill you, obviously, but premium open bar. And it includes a champagne toast at midnight and dancing, unlimited dancing. So there you go. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com for all the details. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And Matt DeSantis is coming. And I know, back by popular demand, so many people want to see Matt DeSantis live in person. I'm not one of them, but many, many, several people, a couple of people have brought that up.
I've at least a half dozen fans, I think.
there are half dozens of us. Although Linda Kearns did update her Twitter bio to put on that she's hashtag Team Matt DeSantis, which is amazing.
It's the greatest Christmas gift I ever could have asked for. The one concerning thing is my fan base is not really consistent. I do notice that there's a lot of people that jump on and then sprint away. And then eventually they come back sometimes. It's so not consistent.
You think you win them over in the end?
I'm hoping. I don't know. The jury's still out.
Justin had an update for us before on that caller who said he saw lots of jets last night in the moonlight. What did they tell you, Justin?
Yeah, let me just make sure I have the right name. It was Dan and Horsham had, and several other people had called in to just let us know that those jets that did those couple of orbits around the one caller's house were, in fact, for the Birds game. They had left from, I can't remember, I think he said Atlantic City, and they did a couple rotations. They did a couple orbits around where the caller was located, but they were, in fact, for the Birds game. Nothing suspicious, nothing weird. It's just, they were just doing the flyover for the Eagles game.
You see that? Look at that. You see that? I didn't even know there was an Eagles game yesterday. Who won? No, I'm kidding. I watched it with my son. We watched it together. It was a lot of fun. And the Birds had a good game, I thought. And I thought it was a good game.
Go Birds.
We beat the Steelers, which is great. But I'm on it. I didn't realize we were home yesterday. I guess I should pay more attention to these things. Terrible. No, but look, but we beat them. And remember, Fetterman was out there going, he was talking about how the Steelers were going to win. And Patrick, my son, was very, very concerned because he thought that the Steelers were really good. And it's funny, when my son, whenever I watch a game with him, like we watched the Army-Navy game together, and he had a birthday party, so I recorded it, and then we watched it later. And he was rooting for Army. His Army had a better record. By the end of the game, he was all Team Navy. You know what I mean? That's how my son is. Very fickle fan. I like that. That's in the end, decision. He's always with the winner.
That's only winners in the Zioli household.
That's right. We're all winners here. That we got to be winners. That's how we have to do things. Come on. So Friday will be fun in Cape May. Justin's not coming because he's going to work the board, but Kirk will be there, so that's good. And, yeah, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be our biggest show yet. I'm confident. Santa's going to be there. So it'll be fun. So
I managed to get the Joe Biden puppet out of my broken-down car. So
oh, good.
The president will, in fact, be in attendance.
Excellent. Good. We need this will be our last time to use Puppet Biden. So we'll bring out Puppet Biden and... So there you go. All right. 855-839-1210. DeSantis. Oh, and Justin was also telling me there's rumors that the shooter at the school in Wisconsin might have tried to put out a manifesto on social media or something like that. Is that right?
Yes. Allegedly, in very unconfirmed reports, that the shooter has an X account, and they linked Google Doc, and... before they committed the act, they forgot to publish it like publicly so people could see it. So right now it's an unviewable link of what is allegedly the manifesto of the shooter. We're still trying to see if they could find a way to access it or not, or if somebody has access to it, but I'm still looking all over X.
Okay. All right. Excellent. We'll see if that happens, because that would be good if we can get that out. And I'm curious if we'll find out the motive. And I think the real question will be is if it's an anti-Christian shooter who's transgender, then the answer is no. If it's a MAGA white guy with a hat, then the answer will be yes. That's basically how we'll know if we'll find out the motive of the shooter, basically. Trump was on fuego this morning. That means on fire, Matt DeSantis. I'm bilingual, so I speak Spanish. So if you're wondering about that. But my favorite clip of the day might have to be Stephen A. Smith fired up about the 26 FBI informants. Now, do you think he heard my interview with Julie Kelly on Friday's show?
Probably,
yes, I think,
not, but
he
maybe.
Did, because everybody heard that interview with Julie Kelly on Friday. Come on, DeSantis.
I don't know. I doubt Stephen A. Smith is listening to the show. It's possible. I don't know. He's from Philadelphia.
Justin, I'll ask you instead, because Debbie Downer over there. It is possible Stephen A. Smith heard the interview with Julie Kelly, and that's what made him comment on the January 6th protests and everything.
I 100% believe Stephen A. Smith is a proud member of the Zeoli Army and does not miss a single broadcast of the Rich Zeoli Show.
See, how hard was that, DeSantis? How freaking hard is that?
Sorry.
Not that hard.
I'll know better for next time.
Not that difficult. And you've been here a lot longer than him. Well, without further ado, well done, Justin. Excellent. Without further ado, here's Stephen A. Smith, proud member of the Zeoli Army, talking about the FBI 26 informants, cut 15.
Didn't hear anything about that for the election. Didn't hear anything about that when the quote-unquote insurrection was broached by Vice President Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee. The belief that Donald Trump was a danger to democracy and using this as a profound, illuminating bullet point to make that case. And now here we are yet again finding even more evidence to Donald Trump's claims when he articulated that the process is rigged. My big issue is that I'm really, really sick and tired of every time I turn around finding something else that the Democrats have lied about or downplayed or misrepresented along the way. I mean, I see Republicans like Megyn Kelly or Officer Tatum or Candace Owens or, you know, the Sean Hannitys of the world. You know what I'm getting tired of? To the Democratic Party. You know what I'm getting really pissed off about? I'm getting really ticked off at every time they open their mouth about something pertaining to y'all, they seem right.
Well, he's very agitated. Yeah, what can I tell you, Stephen A. Smith? I mean, that's because we're right about all these things. And you didn't mention me in that, which is fine. But yeah, we're right. What can I say? We know these things. Just like the other great conspiracy was that we all said that Nathan Wade was coordinating with the White House and Fani Willis and Fani's Fanny were coordinating directly with the White House on trying to take down former president and future president Donald Trump. And again, it was called a vast right-wing conspiracy. Just like they gaslit us about COVID, the border, inflation being transitory, the Hunter Biden laptop, Joe Biden's cognitive decline, Joe Biden not pardoning Hunter Biden, now they're gaslighting us on the UFOs. They gaslit us on this as well. Here's my dear, dear friend Dana Perino, who gave me a shout-out last week on The Five. I don't know if anyone caught that or not, but Dana Perino gave me a shout-out on The Five. Did you guys catch that on the show last week? Did we mention that? I don't know if we did or not.
I remember it, yeah.
You can mention it one more time. Well, it doesn't hurt to mention it one more time.
So on Fox News, The Five, Dana Perino gave me a shout-out on The Five on Fox News sometime in the 5 o'clock hour last week on The Five on Fox News. So
I didn't know you knew Dana Perino.
Oh, you didn't? Because I was just texting with her a few moments ago, as a matter of fact. So have I not mentioned that? Yeah, that I no. All right, well,
I should have brought that up. That's
I probably
cool.
Should have mentioned that too. What do you know? Here is Dana Perino, who gave me a shout out last week on The Five, reporting on Nathan Wade and this bombshell story. Cut 16.
Georgia prosecutor in the Trump election meddling case testifies before the House Judiciary Committee. That's Nathan Wade, and he admitted he met with White House staff on several occasions while working on the investigation that was led by Fulton County DA Fani Willis. He also says he had to brush up on his knowledge of racketeering law.
Amazing. So we know that that was not also another vast right-wing conspiracy. All these things keep coming true for us. It's just funny how that works, right? 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Cash Patel was somebody who was out there telling us that the deep state was spying on Donald Trump. He was one of the very first people to bring up the Russia collusion nonsense. Cash Patel was one of the people that exposed it when they had the special prosecutor go in and look into all of Hillary Clinton's efforts to lie about Donald Trump with a phony dossier and create the narrative along with Obama and the CIA that Donald Trump was a Russian plant. It was a lie by our government. It was attempted government. Well, it was election interference. They just weren't successful at it in 2016. And Kash Patel was all over it. And yet, for some reason, you've got people like Shifty Adam Schiff calling Kash Patel a conspiracy theorist. See, the thing about it is that Kash Patel has been right about everything. But Democrats are still doing the same old playbook, calling anybody who says anything that we know to be the truth, that they don't want us to know is the truth, a conspiracy theorist. Cut 17.
Well, let me just say, with respect to some of the nominees like Kash Patel, this is someone, in my view, who is not qualified to be FBI director, and someone who claimed, for example, that he wanted to shut down FBI headquarters early in his tenure and open a museum to the deep state. So this is a conspiracy theorist.
Why? No, it should be a museum to the deep state. And we could have a beautiful, beautiful museum to the deep state and all the things the government has done, spying on the American people, censoring the American people, bullying big tech into censoring the American people, lying to us about the Hunter Biden laptop, the origins of COVID-19. Now they're lying to us about the friggin' UFOs. I mean, come on. Or the UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon. The deep state has been very real. And the weaponization of government, raiding President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago and going through Melania Trump's underwear drawer, for lack of a better term. No, the deep state is very, very real. And Adam Schiff knows this because he was involved in pushing the Russia collusion narrative. In fact, Adam Schiff was the guy leading the charge on the Russian collusion narrative. And for that, he was censured by his own colleagues. Because he was such a freaking liar who peddled misinformation and disinformation about Donald Trump. Well, give me a freaking break. You want to see conspiracy theorist Adam Schiff? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. But here is what makes me really happy during this happy hour. CNN is reporting that Kamala Harris is seriously making a run for governor of California or president in 2028. All I have to say to that is, please, God, please run. Please, Kamala, run in 2028. No, you got this. Really, you'll be great. You'll be amazing. I mean, sure, you were the worst candidate in American history. But hey, everybody has to learn from their mistakes. Granted, you made so many of them, and most of them you probably don't remember because you were either high on pills or drunk. But still, at the same time, you really should run. Please. Cut 22.
Tell us what the likelihood is of Harris running for governor.
What she's been saying to people over the last couple of weeks, donors, other supporters that she's been talking with, is, you haven't seen the last of me. I'm not going quietly into the night. Advisors, people close to her, are debating about what that means. They do not want her final official act ever to be essentially certifying Donald Trump's win over her, especially 4 years after January 6th. And so they look at this governor's race in California in 2026, and it seems to them like a layup, essentially, that she would probably clear the field or mostly clear the field, and she would get to be governor of California. It's a pretty good job, right? It was good enough for Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jerry Brown. But if she does that, that means that she couldn't turn around and run for president again in 2028, right? She'd need to essentially declare right away. And that is what it really comes down to, because there are people close to her who say she didn't get a fair shot this year. It wasn't up to what she could have done. And look how well she performed anyway. She should get to go again in 2028. And then there are ones who say, look, with where things are with the Democratic Party, she would not have a clear field, a cleared field, in the Democratic primary, and could lose the nomination. And to come off of 2024 into that would be really terrible.
No, no, it wouldn't. She should definitely run for president in 2028. Please run. Run, Kamala, run. Run, Kamala, run. I'll chip in a dollar. Please. Please. I mean, that'll go towards her first box of wine. She was pretty hammered at the White House Christmas party, whatever that was, the other day, clearly. And we played the clip for you on Friday, and she sounded like any minute now she was about to go, woot, like woot, woot, like Brad and the PSA that we play all the time. Kamala's got some problems. The Democrat Party will never let her get the nomination. Why should they? She was an awful, awful, terrible candidate. And for the record, she lost the Democrat primary in 2020. She got no votes whatsoever. She wouldn't get any in 2028. But hey, listen, I'm all for it. All right. I am all for her running in 2028, please. As for who the Republicans will run in 2028, it's very obvious who that will be. Mitt Romney's not happy about the fact of who it will be, but at least Mitt Romney is recognizing something. Little Mittens is recognizing that the time has come to pass the torch to a new generation, and that generation is not Mitt Romney. So here's Mitt Romney predicting who actually will be the Republican nominee in 2028, cut 18.
Said in an interview a few months ago that, quote, there's a good chance that the Republican Party is going to be need to be rebuilt or reoriented, and that you want to have a voice in the post-Trump Republican Party. Do you think that there's still think there's going to be a post-Trump Republican Party, or is MAGA now the Republican Party?
Oh, MAGA is the Republican Party, and Donald Trump is the Republican Party today. And if you were to ask me who the nominee will be in 2028, I think it'll be J.D. Vance. All right. He's smart, well-spoken, part of the MAGA movement.
You said something pretty harsh about him a few months ago, though. You could not have less respect for somebody than J.D.
Long ago. I'm not going to rehash history. And we've worked together in the Senate since then. But I you know, that is what the Republican Party is. And will the party need to change? Look, the Republican Party has become the party of the working class, middle class voter. And you've got to give Donald Trump credit for having done that. Taking that away from the Democrats. Democrats pushed him out. All right. The Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren faction of the Democrat Party with some of this, you know, defund the police and transgenders in biological males and women's sports. These things had a lot of people in the middle class just flee the Democratic Party. They're now Republicans.
Yeah, they are Republicans. And lastly, before we go to break, Chris Rock on Saturday Night Live, his opening monologue, some funny stuff. But when we get back, some cringeworthy stuff. Very, very cringe. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson makes her Broadway debut in a play called Juliet. I'll share that cringe with you upon my return. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli plus Chris Rock. More of Trump's press conference today where he's threatening the Biden administration. Immediately, he wants a cease and desist order to stop them from trying to sell parts of the American border wall. Good for President-elect Donald Trump for saying so, and I hope something will happen as soon as possible on that. A federal judge needs to intervene. I'll give you details about that straight ahead. But first, Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter and they really do matter. This is a great time to get the Cherry Hill Vavo year-end specials. They got to make way for the 2025s, and this is your opportunity to save big money. For example, the XC90, which is the Zeoli family car. We love it. It's got the third row to pick up all the kids. It's as low as $687 a month using all applicable rebates, and if you're a Costco member, you will save up to $2,000 in additional rebates. Just see the store for the details. Judith Krupnik and the entire team would love to see you and love to meet you. They build relationships, and that has been a guiding principle of what they do at Cherry Hill Volvo, to give you a luxury Volvo buying experience. Now, if you thought about driving a Volvo, maybe you want to do a test drive, but you're thinking, oh, no, Rich, because then I'll get pressured. No, not at Cherry Hill Volvo, you won't. That's not how they operate. See, at Cherry Hill Volvo, there's never any pressure. They always do the right thing. So you can take a test drive. You can take as many test drives as you want. Nobody's ever going to pressure you. That's different from a lot of other dealerships out there where they're training their salespeople to beat you down until you cry uncle just to get off the lot. You buy a car. It's not how they do things at Cherry Hill Volvo. So whether it's the S-Class, made at their plant in South Carolina, a certified previously enjoyed Volvo, or maybe savings on a 2024 model, you will be in great hands at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, the region's most accessible Volvo dealership. The entire Cherry Hill Volvo team looks forward to meeting you at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Welcome back to the show. It is our Monday edition and my last Monday of the year because Friday is our show in K-May and then I'm off for Christmas and New Year's. So make sure you join us for our show in K-May. It's going to be a lot of fun this coming Friday. Okay, I want to see you there. I don't know what's in store for the next couple weeks, but I do know it's going to be an exciting time for all of us. And I know President Donald Trump is doing what he always does, which is to command the media cycle once again. So last week we reported on the story for you. The Daily Wire broke this. Their investigative reporter showed pictures of trucks taking supplies to the border wall and driving them to a government auction site where you could buy your very own piece of the border wall for as little as $5. It's outrageous. Completely disrespectful to the new administration and just a giant F you to the taxpayers who have to pay for all this stuff. It's wrong in every single way. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Reach out to Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile and get your free dental implant consultation. If you've already had a consultation, get a second opinion. VeneriaDental.com. Here's President Donald Trump seeking a restraining order on the Biden administration to stop this immediately. I hope a federal judge will grant it as soon as possible. Cut 27.
And we can't let this take place. Now, we're going to go. I spoke with the Attorney General of Texas. I spoke to the senators of Texas. I spoke to a lot of people, and hopefully they'll be able to stop. We're going to be, having a restraining order. But just think about how ridiculous it is. And this is just people that don't want this country to succeed. And this has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. This has to do with common sense. We won on common sense, and this is maybe one of the most egregious examples I've seen. So the people that are buying it or trying to buy it are trying to make a deal with us to sell it back at hundreds of times more than we paid.
Yeah. Isn't that something? I mean, it's what I joked on Friday, and it's not, I hate to make the joke about it, but it's true. Mexico should buy it at the auction price and then build the wall and make Trump happy, because it's ridiculous what's happening right now. So it needs to stop ASAP. It absolutely needs to stop. President Trump also made some other comments today. He announced that SoftBank has announced $100 billion in new U.S. investments over the next 4 years, creating 10,000 plus new American jobs. Cut number one.
And today I'm thrilled to announce that SoftBank will be investing $100 billion in America, creating 100,000 American jobs at a minimum. And he's doing this because he feels very optimistic about our country since the election.
In fact, Trump and the SoftBank CEO actually negotiated on stage. All right. Look, I got to be honest with you. This is funny as hell. I mean, this is why Trump is, this time around in particular, winning over so many people. The level of discipline, the level of focus, it's all there. I mean, even Justine Bateman, my childhood crush, tweeting out today on X that if you didn't like Trump before, this is a very different Trump in a lot of ways. Disciplined, focused on message. But if you like the old Trump, you'll still like this version of him, because he did yesterday post a picture of Chris Christie getting McDonald's drone delivery, which, I don't know, can we put this up on can we put that on YouTube? Do we have it?
I think we can, I can get Kirk to get it for you.
He literally put it. So what it is, and the fact that Donald Trump put this on his Instagram page and put it out on Truth Social at Real Donald Trump, it's hysterical. So here's what happened, right? Trump, basically, there was this meme going around of Chris Christie sitting there with all of these drones delivering McDonald's to him. And it said the drone delivery solved. And of course, you see Christie sitting there and there's like five or six drones in the background, all delivering bags of McDonald's. So so even though, yes, this is a much more mature, disciplined version of Trump, who saw death, stared death in the eye, and became out of it a renewed man, a much more mature man, it's still Trump. You know what I mean? He's still the shop-busting Trump that he always has been, and this is why we love him. Absolutely. He even posted an X, and he rarely uses X, but this was a very special occasion. Yes, fat-shaming Chris Christie is one of his favorite pastimes. It really is. Fat-shaming Chris Christie means he comes out of retirement on Twitter and goes and posts there, too. I think he even posted it on TikTok, too, everywhere possible. He might have even created new social sites just to post it there. All right, do we have it?
I'm watching it being loaded in right now.
All right, Kirk's loading it up right now. So if you're watching on the YouTube chat, and you know who you are, some of you are more distracting than others, well, you'll get to see the picture of it. If you haven't, I'll repost a picture. If you're not watching, I'll repost a picture of it on X. And it's just hysterical because I told you the story back in 2016 at Mar-a-Lago when he first fat-shamed Chris Christie, in my presence at least, when he sat down to do debate prep and Trump proceeded to order him Belgian waffles and pancakes with extra whipped cream and sugar and extra sugar. And it just became, and then when Chris Christie turned on him, it was like all the gloves are off. And then I love when Trump would do the rallies too. And he'd go out there to be like, what is that, sir? What'd you say? No, please don't call him a fat. You can't say he's a fat slob, sir. Please don't say that, sir. Don't call Chris Christie a fat slob, sir. It's very, very mean. Please don't do that, sir. Please don't do that.
Kirk's showing it now.
All right, so it's live on our YouTube stream right now. Here we go. And I'm looking at some of the comments, too. Very good stuff. Let's see. What do we got here? Is it up? That's what she said.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
look at that.
There's a little delay on the YouTube stream.
So there, if you can't see it, I'll set the picture for you. There's a gigantic drone delivering a gigantic bag of McDonald's. 1, 2, 3, 4 smaller drones delivering bags of McDonald's. And then there's Chris Christie sitting there with 2 bags of McDonald's and what looks to be him taking a Whopper and combining it with another Whopper and possibly a fried chicken tender of some sort to create the ultimate sandwich. It kind of reminds me of the times. You remember when he was at the Mets game, DeSantis, and he took the big box of M&Ms and the small box of M&Ms and combined the two? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but it sounds about right.
Oh, I remember that. He was taking the little box of M&Ms and putting it into, you know, like the giant box of M&Ms you get at like the movie theater, and he was pouring the little box of M&Ms into the big box, marrying it in a beautiful M&M symphony. So that picture right there, tweeted out, posted out, posted on Instagram and Facebook by the president-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump. So, yes, as much as this is a more mature, seasoned Donald Trump, still the Donald Trump we know and love, who will never, and fat-shaming Chris Christie will just never get old. I'm sorry, but it's just never going to get old, you know, because he turned on him. So, yeah, look at that. Look at that. Some of the other great memes around the drones were him with the famous beach picture when he was on the beach at Island Beach State Park outside the governor's official beach residence with him on top of the drone. That's pretty funny, too. But nothing beats this. And the fact that Trump put it out, it's like combining a Whopper and a Big Mac and a Big Mac and like making it into like the biggest Big Mac of all kind of all time. Fantastic. I say Whopper, I meant Big Mac. Christie will lay a Whopper later on, but for the time being, he'll be eating a Big Mac. It's gross. So immature. But here's a level of cringe for you that you haven't seen in quite some time since we're still streaming on YouTube. Here's Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is not a biologist, but apparently she is a thespian. Her lifelong dream was to perform on Broadway. So she made her Broadway debut with the cast of End Juliet. So the story of End Juliet, which I've not seen, but I've heard about, is about if Juliet didn't actually die after they both took the poison. Juliet wakes up and she's alive, and then she goes on to live her life with a dead Romeo, and you know, it becomes like a girl power show from what I hear. Anyway, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, get ready for the cringe. Cut 24.
Female empowerment.
Ooh.
Sick. I like it too. I think what I like about it is that I am having a very strongly negative reaction to it. Like, I hate it. Which makes me think it must be brilliant.
Got this feeling in my body.
Can't stop the feeling.
Got this feeling in my body.
Can't stop the feeling.
I'd rather take my own life.
I
like Romeo than watch this. So if I had a choice between watching this musical or killing myself like Romeo did, I would absolutely take death. Not even close. That's not even a... Be like, here are your choices. You can watch this musical, or... And I'd be like, yes, yes, what do I do? Where's the poison? Where? And can you shoot me just to make sure it sticks? Wow. So she says female empowerment. Matt DeSantis, how does she know what a female is? She said she's not a biologist during her Supreme Court hearing.
It's a valid question. Maybe she's been enlightened since then.
Wow, that was cringeworthy. To save us from the cringe, let's get a little Chris Rock from his monologue on Saturday Night Live from over the weekend. I do love Chris Rock. I'm not going to lie. It makes me laugh. Cut 26.
Menendez brothers getting out of jail. Menendez brothers. Yeah, getting out of jail. Just in time to get deported. Trump is going to deport their ass, you murdering Mexicans. Trump is not playing, man. That's right. This time is totally different. He's working with the number one African-American in the world, the richest African-American in the world, Elon Musk. That's right. He is African-American. Elon got more kids than the Cleveland Browns. That's right. Nobody knows how to get rid of people like a South African. Oh, he's serious. Trump is not playing. They got Elon. They're going to put him in a rocket ship. Call it Space Mex. Oh, yeah. J-Lo's going to marry Ben again just so she can stay in the country. She's not Mexican, but Trump don't know that.
Oh, that's great. That's funny as hell. I think she'd rather be deported than marry Ben Affleck again. I'm just saying. I know I got to take a break. Can I just squeeze in the cringe drunk Kamala Harris? Is it good, yeah. Matt DeSantis? Is it worth it?
It's pretty good.
All right, since we have it on video, this is cringe drunk Kamala Harris thanking her supporters and all the money that they raised and what a difference it made, except for the part where she lost and is now in debt. Cut 23.
As a result of your leadership and your support, the National Finance Committee held more than 700 events across the country and raised nearly $700 million. An historic achievement, which without a doubt made our campaign stronger.
Okay, I was wrong. She was not drunk. That was a pill day, not a wine day. It's hard to keep track. That was a pill day. Now you know. All right, listen, big fourth and final hour coming up. Gerald Posner, he's got a great piece in the Wall Street Journal, how Republicans can protect women's sports. We're also going to talk to a personal friend who served with Pete Hegseth on why he's the right choice to become the next Secretary of Defense. Big fourth and final hour straight ahead. Thank you for streaming on YouTube. I'll see you Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll also be streaming live on YouTube. But don't go away. Full hour straight ahead. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.